part by Strawberry Fields on West Springfield Avenue in downtown Urbana. Strawberry Fields provides a wide assortment of natural foods, vitamins, bulk herbs, fresh breads, and produce. The Strawberry Fields Cafe, looking out on Springfield Avenue, features expanded seating for the deli and coffee bar. Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Owens Funeral Home at the corner of Elm and University in Champaign, locally owned and operated and serving families since 1925. Owens Funeral Home invites you to join them in supporting public radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Focus 580. It's our morning talk show. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. Producing the program, Harriet Williamson, Martha Deal, and Henry Frain is at the controls. Just a quick mention that tomorrow in the first part of the show, we'll be talking about the politics of Asian Americans and some of their issues that concern them most and something about their political participation. And our guest for the program will be Peiti Lin. She is Associate Professor of Political Science and Ethnic Studies at the University of Utah. Then in the second hour, the guest will be Graham Allison. He is Founding Dean of Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, Director of the Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs, and also the Douglas Dillon Professor of Government there at Harvard. And we'll be talking about his book, Nuclear Terrorism, The Ultimate Preventable Catastrophe. That'll be tomorrow morning in the first part of the show. In the second part of the show. We are here weekday mornings from 10 until noon. We have 10 different topics for you every week, and we always welcome your questions and comments. This past summer, the governor of New Jersey, James McGreevy, made headlines, became a national story when he revealed that he was gay. And perhaps you'll recall having seen some of the press conference that he held that day that he talked with reporters and the fact that his wife stood beside him as he made that announcement. Our guest for this part of Focus 580, Amity Pierce Buxton, no doubt has some understanding of what it was that the governor's wife was feeling that day, because she herself had the same experience, although not in so public a manner. Her own husband came out back in 1983, and in part as a result of having had that experience, she founded the Straight Spouse Network to help other people who were going through that same experience. She's been quoted as saying that she knows how hard it was for the governor's wife, but she said it made people realize that at any time a married person comes out, there is a straight spouse who is affected. It's a family matter, she said. She's the author of a book that has been out now for some time that addresses the experiences of the straight spouse. The title of her book is The Other Side of the Closet, The Coming Out Crisis for Straight Spouses and Their Families. It's published by John Wiley & Sons. It is available in paperback. Amity Buxton lectures nationally. She conducts support groups and she counsels spouses and ex-spouses of bisexual, gay, and lesbian mates. She chairs the International Straight Spouse Support Network of Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, and she's joining us this morning by telephone. Questions are certainly welcome. We just ask people to try and be brief just so we can keep the program moving and get in as many people as possible, but of course anybody's welcome to call 333-9455. Also, we do have that toll-free line that's good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. Dr. Buxton, hello.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And thanks very much for talking with us.
Not at all.
Well, certainly, I know in the wake of what happened there with Governor McGreevy, I have read a number of articles that have quoted you and have, in a sense, all sort of said the same kind of thing that, in fact, I think in one of these, it was a newspaper article, said that you've been waiting for something like this to happen,
yeah.
but that you certainly didn't expect that it would happen with both spouses seen together on national television.
Yes, I think that's what did it, because people could see that when a married person comes out, oh, yes, oh, yeah, there is somebody else involved.
We don't really know. People make guesses, but for obvious reasons, we really don't know how many gay people there are in the United States. You know, we just don't know. But I think you've at least tried to make some sort of a guess at sort of a difficult figure, and that is how many gays and lesbians are married and their partners don't know that their spouse is gay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is difficult to figure out. I just took the current census and the most conservative estimate of the incidence of gay and lesbian people and how many of them research says have been married, and really no one knows. So we figure that up to 2 million gay and lesbian persons were, are, or will be married. And in most cases, you're right, the straight spouse won't know it. In some cases, the gay or lesbian may not even know it yet.
Mm-hmm. And how do we have any other sort of more reliable number of how many people in a less public sort of way, but have gone through this same thing that the McGreevies are going through?
No, all I know is I've talked myself with about 9,500 since 1986, and at any one time, our network is working with 7,000. So, you know, so many people are still closeted. Just hard to tell. I would say hundreds of thousands.
Hmm. Any time that a marriage breaks up, it's going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly if one spouse, one partner says to the other one that I don't want to be with you anymore, I want to be with somebody else, that the remaining spouse is going to feel hurt. And I guess the question I'm getting at is that if your spouse says, I don't want to be with you because I'm gay, is that any more difficult for them to say to you, I don't want to be with you because I just want to be with somebody else? You know, and the whole issue of their sexual identity doesn't come into play. Is that really that much more difficult?
Well, it is, because you're being rejected for being a man or a woman.
Hmm.
And in many cases, the husband or wife who comes out still loves you, but you're just rejected as a man or a woman. And the implication of that is, oh, I wasn't feminine enough or masculine enough to keep him from turning. These are the initial feelings, of course. And so it's different. And the hard thing is, there is no way you can change it. If your husband has an affair with his secretary or something, you think, well, maybe if I can get thinner or change the color of my hair or cook better, he'll come back. But in this case, there's no way of re-arousing the sexual desire.
I would, and I'm sure, not having had the experience, that some people would say that they might find that in some way assuring, because then it really doesn't, it's really not about them.
Oh, right. But you get to that point after about a year or so of pain from the rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Because you still feel attracted to your husband or wife. And it's just a very strange Neverland nightmare to go through.
Mm.
But yes, in time you realize, of course. In fact, some people say it's a compliment that they stayed with you as long as they did.
And it does, and I think one of the basic points that in a number of the articles that I have read that have quoted you again since it became a national story last August, is that what happens, and again, it's not surprising, is that when that happens, when someone comes out, that the attention ends up being focused on them, and whether that is anger, sadness, outrage, you know, whatever it is, and indeed, I'm sure that it's shaped by how people's attitudes generally towards homosexuality, that the whole thing, it becomes about that person who is coming out, because they are coming out, and that's a big deal. But your point that you're trying to remind people is that it's not just about that person. So you feel that, in fact, when all this happens, so much attention is focused on the person that's coming out, is that very little thought is given to the experience, what the straight spouse is going through.
Exactly, and their issues are fairly unique. We just talked about one of them, the fact of your whole sexuality, and your being a man or a woman is rejected. But also, another huge, huge problem is the deception involved. Because no matter how long the husband or wife stayed closeted, that little bit of time makes the straight spouse think that they were pretty foolish not to have been able to see it. Here, their trust has been betrayed. And that this person that they're with is not what they expected.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that among the things that the straight spouse hears from friends, family, anybody who knows about what happened, is this question, well, how could you not have known?
Right. Well, because in most cases, 99.9% of them, the two love each other tremendously, want to have a family together. And the gay person, for however long he or she knew, is apparently very, very straight. Mm-hmm. You can make love. You may not be totally desirous, but it is possible to make love. So there's absolutely no clue. So, but you do feel pretty stupid. And when people ask you, well, how couldn't you have known? That makes you feel even more stupid. Mm-hmm. In fact, the fact that other people don't understand the uniqueness of the situation makes many spouses not want to talk about it, and they go into their own closets.
Yeah. For, you know, there's as people, I think, are trying to understand what it means to be gay, there seems to be a lot of controversy and perhaps misunderstanding about how it is that people come to understand their sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
And how that happens and when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And from your experience talking, and I'm not sure, again, what sort of representative sample you've been able to collect, but having talked with a lot of families who have gone through this, do you have some sort of sense of when these people married, were they at all conflicted about their sexual orientation?
From the 9,500 folks I've been talked with, and then the other research I've done, who knows exactly what percentage, but a large number had no clue. It was something that maybe in high school they had a crush on some boy or something, but yeah, they kind of discounted it, thought it was just a teenage thing, and put it aside and buried it somewhere. And if they were in some kind of a conservative faith community or conservative town, then it wasn't even an option to think about it. A number of others did have experiences or knew they had these feelings and attractions for the same gender when they get married, but felt that they loved this person so much it would supersede those feelings. And then another group were told by friends or family or psychiatrists or doctors or whatever that, well, if you get married, these feelings will go away.
Hmm. We have a caller and would welcome others. Our guest in this part of Focus 580 is Amity Pierce Buxton. She lectures nationally and conducts support groups and counsels spouses and ex-spouses of bisexual, gay, and lesbian mates. She also chairs the International Straight Spouse Support Network of Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, and is the author of a book that's titled The Other Side of the Closet, The Coming Out Crisis for Straight Spouses and Families, and is available in a paperback. It's published by John Wiley and Son. So if you're interested, you can head out to the bookstore and look for the book. And also, her organization does have a website, too. So if you have internet access and you're interested in reading about the organization and more about the issue, that's one place that you can go as well. Let us talk with the caller here. I believe the caller is in Indiana and on our line 4, toll-free line. Hello.
Hello. Two questions. The first question, you've started to, I guess, answer, and that was earlier in the program you mentioned that when David asked you about, you know, why would people get married that are know themselves as gay and stuff, and somewhere in there you said something to the effect that they don't know it yet or something similar to that, and you now just start talking about people having a crush and thought maybe it was just a teenage thing, then I didn't know about this thing where doctors would say, well, if you do get married, all that will go away. That's one I've never heard of, and I've been in the Midwest a long time,
mm-hmm.
and we have a lot of strange things about homosexuality mm-hmm. here that, you know, nowhere near the facts. But my second question then is, there may not be enough data, but I was wondering if there's anything gender going on here. All we've talked about so far is the male coming out and the dutiful wife standing by her, you know, husband's side. I myself haven't thought of any well-known people who were lesbians who, you know, gave up their husbands or boyfriend. But since you have a fairly large group there, maybe you have. And I just wondered if there's this sort of misogynist thing going on, too. It adds to the homosexuality, especially when it's the male that comes out of the closet and the female sort of left holding the bag.
Well, I'm not really sure what your question is, but yes, there are a lot of lesbians coming out in marriages. Women discover that they're attracted to women somewhat later in their lives than gay men, for some reason. And there are more lesbian wives coming out now than before. I used to get one out of every five callers was a man whose wife would come out. And now it's two out of every five.
So it does, I get just generally, if the I did begin just with this example of the story that was recently in the news. It just happened to be a man coming out, but but it does happen the other way. And the other situation does happen, and in your context, you certainly have met people who where the case was that the wife was the one who was coming out. So it does indeed happen. Tell me again what the percentages look like?
Currently, I get every out of every five calls, two are from husbands whose wives came out. Hmm. That's twice as many as before.
What you talked about the fact that initially a lot of people's response would be sort of a feeling of personal failure, and that goes beyond the kind of feeling of failure that you might have when any marriage would break down. That it's not just I wasn't a good husband, or I wasn't a good wife. The feeling is that there's something wrong with me as a man or as a woman.
Or as a person. There's a lot of self-esteem things that go on after this, too.
Mm-hmm. In what way do you counsel people who are having those feelings? I mean, how does one work with those and work through those?
Well, one of the first piece of advice I give is go slowly. Because these issues are so profound, you can't get on with it quickly. And friends and family oftentimes push you to do so. Probably there's one thing, this business of self-esteem and feeling rejected and feeling sexually shortchanged, and your belief system is torn up because gender isn't what you thought it was and marriage isn't what you thought it was. But in addition to those issues, there are four really powerful emotions that can sidetrack you. One is the pain, just the devastation that the world's been ripped apart for you. And another is anger, not necessarily that the person is gay or lesbian, but that you were deceived and you were betrayed, the trust was betrayed. Hmm. And the third is the fear of, okay, what happens now? What about the children? How will they be treated? Will the marriage last? Can it last? And then finally, because most of these couples do end up in divorce, is the whole grief thing. So we hold people's hands as they go through dealing with these issues until they can finally accept the fact that their husband or wife is not going to turn back into a straight person and that you have to figure out what you want yourself.
Hmm. Is it common that initially that the straight spouse will think to himself or herself, well, somehow I can do something that will make my partner not be gay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In most cases. That's very, very true. And you think, well, we can work it out somehow. Mm-hmm. We love each other so much, and we've got so much history. We've got these kids. We can work it out.
How common is it for spouses in this situation to decide to stay married and to make that relationship continue to be successful?
Well, not too common. Usually about a third of the couples break up pretty quickly. One of them may have a lover, or the straight spouse says, you know, I can't deal with non-monogamy, or it's wrong to be evil. I mean, it's evil to be gay. And another third stay together for a year or so and just try to figure out what to do. But the last third can commit to trying to figure out a way that they can stay married. And half of them, which means a sixth of the total, are still together after 3 years.
Hmm.
Some are monogamous, some have an open marriage, some are celibate, but their relationship is that important that they can each give up a little bit to stay together.
And is that something, the decision that is made for themselves, or is that primarily something that's made because they have children and they're essentially doing it for them?
It's a mixed bag. Basically, it's for themselves, and the relationship is that important. Secondarily, because of the family and the children and their responsibilities, but rarely just for the sake of the children.
Hmm. In any time that a marriage breaks up and there are children, that's an additional complication.
It is, because you don't. If you're in a conservative community, you know the kids are going to be teased for having a gay parent, and so you have to figure out how to support the children. But if from the children's perspective, they're more interested in having two parents who love them than the fact that one of them is gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender.
Do you find, is it more difficult for whom is it more difficult to adjust to the fact that the parent has come out? Is it tougher for the spouse or is it tougher for the children?
Tougher for the spouse because the parent is always continues to be the parent, and the child continues to be the child, but the spousal relationship is questionable. And since, in most cases, the coming out ends up in divorce, then, of course, that's more disastrous.
Mm-hmm. We're about at our midpoint in this part of Focus 580, and perhaps I'll just, again, real quickly introduce our guest, Dr. Amity Pierce Buxton. She lectures nationally and conducts support groups and counsels spouses and ex-spouses of bisexual, gay, and lesbian mates. She also chairs the International Straight Spouse Support Network of parents, families, and friends of lesbians and gays, and she got into doing this because she had this experience herself. Her husband came out. Now, it's been some years, but as a result of going through that process and seeing other people do it, she decided that one of the things she wanted to do was to provide some support and assistance for people who are having that same kind of experience. And now she spends a lot of time doing that. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, if you'd like to call, if you have questions, comments, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line, good anywhere that you can hear us, around Illinois, Indiana. In fact, if you'd be listening on the Internet, as long as you're in the United States, you can use that number, and that is 800-222-9455. I would imagine that, again, going back to the idea that there's something perhaps unique going on here when this relationship breaks up for that reason. And that has to do with the persons, the straight spouse, perhaps questioning their worth as man or woman.
Exactly.
That could lead for that person as far as their sexual identity, in a sense, would lead them to either think that means that nobody is going to be attracted to them.
Right.
And for that reason, almost give up on the idea of having another partner. Or I suppose one could go the other way, and that one would set out to prove that indeed they could be attractive to another man and another woman.
You're right. You're right on both counts. Many go kind of wild after their husbands come out to prove to themselves that they're sexually attractive, and the others just wonder and fear dating. So it takes a long time. It takes at least 3 years to sort of get back on your feet and another 2 or 3 years to really feel like a full, authentic person. In fact, the process of getting back on their feet and feeling like an authentic person is exactly what the gay spouse did in coming out.
Well, you have some other callers here to bring into the conversation. Let's do that. Next is Urbana, where we are, line number one. Hello.
Good morning. This is a very interesting subject. The speaker said that she estimated hundreds of thousands, maybe, that were married and in the closet. How would you know if you are, or how does that turn out? And do you know what I mean? How would you know if you're gay or if you're married to someone who's gay?
Well, there are no real signs, except if you find them absorbed in gay porn on the internet, or find numbers scribbled on matchbooks from gay bars, or you discover emails written to lovers and things like that. It's very hard to tell. That's one of the problems.
Oh, okay.
Because if you're gay or lesbian, you, in most cases, and married, you don't want to come out and lose your family. You don't want to come out and be rejected at work or in your church or whatever. So it's just very hard to tell.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, does it, Dr. Bucks, is it the case that that ultimately what happens is that the gay spouse, the gay partner, it gets to the point where they feel they simply have to
come
out, and you know, it comes down to the day when they sit there with their partner and say, look, there's something I have to tell you.
Yep.
And it's that I'm gay.
Exactly. And it could be a life crisis. It could be a death in the family. It could be, I know one person came out on Valentine's Day. Somebody else can be pushed by a lover to say, look, make up your mind. Who do you want, me or your wife or your husband? Yes, it can. There is kind of a build-up because this attraction is there and it can no longer be denied.
Hmm. Let's talk with someone else. This next caller is in Champaign in line 2. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I have a comment more than a question, or well, also a question. What about the people who know that the husband is gay? And he's no broke, you know. Well, that was my case when I was in Mexico. My husband told me that he was gay, but he never wants to cut the marriage. And was very cruel, very hard. We have 8 years, really, really in hell. And finally, we get divorced, and he keeps the kids because he has a big, mother love for my kids, and he fight, and he helped them. My kids don't know to now. This is almost, oh, my God, like 50 years ago. I never get my kids back. And was pretty hard, and I didn't have no way, no people to talk about it, no support, anything. And it's something you have all your life. And he told me the only reason he married me was because I was smart like a guy, not because I was attractive or anything else. So, you know, it's pretty hard.
Mm.
It is a support for people like for me, who the husband never tell nobody because he was a professor in the university.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've heard that's a common story. Very, very common story, unfortunately.
Yes.
But there are people that you can talk with now on the internet and in the groups. One of the isolation you talk about is one of the burdens that the straight spouse has. And for that reason, we are now independent. We're not part of parents, families, and friends, and lesbians and gays anymore. We're our own organization because we feel that we need to stand up, just as a straight spouse does, and say, we're here to help you heal and build bridges of understanding.
Okay. Well, so...
So you can go to the website, which is www.ssnetwk.org.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I wasn't sure if it's also for people who don't come up out of the closet.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Okay, thanks.
Well, thank you. So that I just again that your experience at the time that your husband came out, and this was what, more than 20 years ago?
1983.
Yeah. 1983. So I gather that at the time there was nothing like the network that you have now.
No, we had support groups here and there, and one of the people I interviewed for my book was running this task force for PFLAG, and when the book came out, as it were. She asked me to take it over, and so I changed it into a network. So we have 70 support groups across the country, and contacts in 11 different countries, and contact in every state.
Hmm. The caller just told the story about her husband coming out to her, but saying that he didn't want anybody else to know, and that he wanted them to stay together, and they did for a while. Although it sounds like she said it was really, really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
How common is a situation
that? That's very common. Despite the growth of acceptance of gay people, when gay people come out having been straight, they are so fearful of losing their jobs and their friends, and their status in the church or temple. And so it becomes a secret, and that's another burden for the straight spouse who's never in her life or his life had to be keeping a secret, because family secrets are lethal.
We'll continue to take callers here. The next is in Champaign in line 1. Hello.
Hi. I'm just wondering, is there ever a time when, you know, there isn't like, well, this is your true sexuality. Like, you have lived as a straight person, but then you're saying that suddenly somebody realizes their true sexuality. I guess I'm just kind of questioning whether that's, there's always a true or a real sexuality. Like, for example, do people ever think that they're gay and then go back and mm-hmm. decide that they're really basically heterosexual or bisexual? Or
mm-hmm. That's a good question. Well, it's those feelings and attractions and desires that bubble up inside, which, if you're totally straight, would not be bubbling up inside. So we have to distinguish between what you call yourself, your identity, and the feelings that you have, and then the what you do about it. So
behaviors.
It's very fluid and very complex. But, yes, we've had wives. I know two instances of wives who came out, left their husbands, and then came back and remarried because they felt, yes, I am. I have these feelings for women, but totally my loyalty and my bond is with my husband.
Right. I mean, the social implications of being gay sometimes can be almost more overwhelming for some people than making the change. Or
yeah, exactly. And it's a whole long process of coming out, and it can be very confusing, particularly if you're the straight spouse and your husband or wife is trying to work through this very confusing dilemma.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Well, do you think, Dr. Buxton, that if, as a society, we were more accepting of homosexuality, of this idea of sexual identity and perhaps its fluidity, whether we would have fewer cases like those that we're talking about, or would we still have people get married and then decide that that was for them, that was not right?
I think what would happen is that people would be more honest to them about themselves and to their brides and grooms to be, and we might end up having marriages that end up breaking up, but they'd be based on honesty and truth. And that's the thing that's the most troubling about these situations, that people aren't really sure about who they are and marry and keep this part of themselves separate. And that's part of the critical. So, yes, there'd be fewer marriages like this. But in those cases, they'd be less devastating if they fell apart.
Next caller is line 3, and this is also someone in Champaign. Hello.
I've enjoyed the program so far. I think you've been extremely helpful and extremely interesting. I have another issue that I'd like to hear you say something about, and that is the physical risks that are that go along with perhaps living a secret life, and I'm thinking specifically about HIV infection. Can you say a word or two about the secrecy and perhaps the risk to the unknowing partner?
Yes, I will be happy to.
Thank you.
This is how some wives find out, was when their husbands go to the hospital and with pneumonia and are diagnosed as HIV positive. The first thing we do when spouses call us, women, is say, get tested. So, yes, there's a tremendous risk if the men, and in this case it's primarily men, are having unprotected sex without their wives' knowledge, because they don't not only put the wives at risk, but they put the wives who are pregnant, the fetus, at risk.
Yes.
And one of the things that has come to light this year, which is so sad, is that in the African-American community, there's been a greater increase of HIV positive for the African-American women than for any other group because of men on the down low.
Yes.
You may know about that book
yes.
that J.L. King wrote. So we now have a Spouses of Color Network, and we're trying to work with spouses and work with, they are trying to work with spouses and with African-American churches so that acceptance of homosexuality and recognition that there are these cases might make some of the men be more honest with their wives and be able to come out and at least have protected sex.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call. Again, other people who have questions, comments, you certainly can pick up the telephone and join in the conversation here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line, and that one's good anywhere that you can hear us, around Illinois, Indiana, or on the Internet. That's 800-222-9455. Again, one of the things that we know when families break up, one of the challenges can be, well, how do we chart the future shape of the family and how are people going to relate to one another? It can get that much more difficult if the two original spouses, then they go out and they have new partners and that the, you know, they may want their the children of the first couple to be involved with the new partners of the mom and the dad, which again can be really difficult if we're simply talking about again mixed gender couples. You know, that's tough enough, but if we're then taking it to the next level and we're saying that here we've got a dad with a male partner or a mom with a female partner, and you want to get kind of make a bigger extended blended family and involve these people, that can, I'm sure, just makes it that much more difficult.
Yes, and most spouses, in fact, I was with in our support group last night here in San Francisco Bay Area, there was a woman who's making it just terribly, making a strong effort to keep her husband in the children's lives. He comes over for dinner twice a week. But she's going to take her time for the children to get used to for the husband and his partner, because one of the things that happens is if there's a large turnover of partners, the kids get very confused. If they're over in daddy's or mommy's house and for 4 months or 5 months there's this one partner and then there's another partner. I mean, the same thing would be true with the straight mom too. But we are going very, very slowly, and then the children get used to the idea that about love between two people of the same gender, and it's their father's home. Some set up rules about, you know, don't have the partner there. It is very complicated.
One of the things that you talked about when you, particularly at the onset, and I'm sure that it's a continuing thing that straight spouses have to deal with, is the feeling of having been deceived. That is, that here, this person that was, you know, maybe they felt this was the person that's supposed to be closest to me in the world, the person from whom you hold back nothing. You know, the idea supposedly, and of course, if anybody has been married or been in a relationship for a long time, you know how imperfect this sharing of secrets can be. But, you know, the idea is that you're supposed to know everything or almost everything about that person. And when you get in a situation like this, when you realize that somehow there was this huge thing about them that you did not know, that they were withholding from you, that I'm sure then one of the questions you start asking yourself is, what else? What else don't I know? Or, you know, what else are they maybe not telling me the truth about? And I would imagine that that question then gets generalized to all kinds of things, that maybe you question many, many other things that you thought you knew about this person, and you start asking, well, you know, what about this thing, or what about this thing? Or do I really, then I suppose ultimately you ask, do I really know this person at all?
That way, it's so. This revelation is so devastating that you know, what else would you want? What else might there be? That usually doesn't happen.
So it's not a situation where in their future relationship, the members of the couple, or at least the straight spouse, in the back of their head, they're not continually questioning whether their gay spouse is being, so to speak, is being straight with them about whatever it is they happen to be talking about.
Oh, well, okay, I see what you're saying. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, actually, because of the deception, they don't trust anything the spouse says about anything.
That's kind of what I was.
Right. It isn't what else. It's just, okay, you make a promise that you're, for a couple of weeks, you won't go out to the gay bar so that we can do some talking, and then they go out to do some errands, and the spouse comes back 2 hours later. You say, "Where were you?" You know, they get very, very suspicious, don't trust the word, and get kind of paranoid for a while. It takes a long time to rebuild the trust, whether it's a wife coming out or a husband coming out.
So that seems that would place a particular burden on the gay spouse to keep that in mind and remember that even maybe small things, if they say they're going to do certain things and they seem to be small things, that they may be small things, but the fact that they're doing what they said they were going to do, that they're consistent, that they're reliable, that's important even perhaps with the small things.
Well, that would be true after about 2 years. What happens is the dynamics are quite interesting. When a husband or wife comes out, finally they're able to do what they never could be able to do, and they can say it and their feelings are flowing and they become self-absorbed, and in fact they'll joke among themselves, they become like teenagers again, like adolescents. And if you have teenagers in your family, you know they're very self-absorbed, and so they don't think about anybody else. So for the first couple of years, if the wife or straight wife or straight husband wants them to go slowly just so that they could work things out, the gay or lesbian feels they're being imprisoned, controlled, and so forth. And they also won't even think of the consequences on the wife or kids.
We're coming down to the point here where we have about 7, 8 minutes left. One more time, let me introduce our guest, Amity Pierce Buxton. She lectures nationally and conducts support groups and counsels spouses and ex-spouses of bisexual, gay, and lesbian mates. She also chairs the International Straight Spouse Support Network of parents, families, and friends of lesbians and gays. She has authored a book that explores this territory that we're talking about here. The title is The Other Side of the Closet, The Coming Out Crisis for Straight Spouses and Families. It's published by John Wiley and Sons. Also, her organization has a website so that if you do have internet access and you're interested in looking at it and seeing what's there, you can go to the website, and it's www.ssnetwk.org. You can see what they're all about. We have another caller here, Bloomington, Indiana, line number 4. Hello.
I joined you mid-program. I might not have heard everything you've said, but it seems to me that you're saying that the guilty party in a marriage has perpetrated, whoever this guilty spouse is, has perpetrated a gross violation of traditional wedding vows, and the victim of this violation has no remedy. It doesn't even have any much social sympathy. It appears it's like the ultimate consequence of no-fault divorce, which leaves the perpetrator free. The perpetrator gets a free pass, and the victim just has to tough it out.
That's what many straight spouses feel. In many cases, when the husband or wife comes out, they haven't broken any vows. They just say, look, I've got these feelings, what do we do about them? They all don't go out and act on it first, right away. And what we like to say is that in any kind of social change, which this is, the acceptance of gays and being able to be free, apart from the marriage, they're going to be victims along the way. And when a spouse comes out, regardless of whether they act on it or not, sort of the collateral damage is the wife and the kids, or the husband and the kids. And what we try to do in the Straight Spouse Network is to get the wives and husbands whose husbands and wives have come out to stop feeling, to grow beyond feeling like a victim, to become victors in their own life so that they can themselves feel in control of their lives.
Well, that's true, and I understand fully that the victim should be brave, but our society, our culture, should be structured in such a way that there's a stigma, there's some great disapproval to the perpetrator, to the guilty party. The guilty party should not go scot-free. This stigma, this disapproval, it functions not after the fact, but it should warn the perpetrator. He should feel guilty before he perpetrates this kind of a fraud.
Well, what we're hoping is that if society becomes accepting of people being gay, then they won't have to hide in the closet of a marriage.
No. But thank you for an interesting program.
All right. Thank you for the call. Again, we have maybe just a couple minutes left. If somebody wanted to call in here, maybe about 5 minutes left, and make a comment or ask a question, that certainly would be possible and acceptable. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455.
But he does bring up an interesting point, that, which is one of the reasons why I was pleased to see Mrs. McGreevy in the TV spotlight, because we do forget that that there is a spouse involved. And I my feeling was that she was there saying, hello, I'm here too.
Well, and I guess obviously the caller is coming from a point of view that, that believes that homosexuality is wrong.
I know.
And that somehow that the idea of if you cheat on your wife with another woman, that's bad. But if you cheat on your wife with another man, that's somehow worse.
But my point is that all spouses who come out, not all spouses who come out have cheated.
Mm-hmm.
This is just their feeling. And a lot of them will come out. And as I said, a sixth of them will still be married. And stay married and stay monogamous. I mean, it's hard to do. But and a lot of them, when they married, didn't really thought they could make a go of it. My husband felt that his love for me was going to override his homosexuality.
And did he
honestly believed it?
And I know he has since passed away.
Yes.
And you have remarried.
Yes.
For, I guess some time ago. So that's not
right. But
not just something that happened last week.
And he lived a perfectly straight life, which nearly killed him, and did destroy our marriage, because he became more and more depressed and repressed and withdrawn, because he couldn't be who he wanted to be.
And
he was trying to do the right thing as a good Irish Catholic.
In his particular case, he would have said that when you and he married, he knew that he was gay.
Yes, he had been active, and he put it aside to marry me, and he was faithful the whole time.
Another caller here, Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Since our society is so strong...
So you'll have to turn your radio down for us.
Society so strongly condemns homosexuality, it leaves the gay person who discovers his or her gayness in a predicament where there's no solution but a heterosexual marriage if they want sexual fulfillment, or to go underground in the network of the rejected in our society. Do you have any thoughts about how society could come to be more accepting of the idea that some people are born not to marry homosexually or heterosexually?
The only hope I keep saying is that if people would look at what happens to marriages in which men and women who think they are gay feel it's the only option they have, to look at the devastation for so many of them, they might stop saying, oh, you have to get married in a heterosexual marriage, and let them, this is my personal opinion, and allow gays and lesbians who want families and be together to let them do it. Otherwise, we've got these thousands and thousands and thousands of divorces.
It's curious that people who want monogamy are denied it because it isn't heterosexual.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. Do you, Dr. Buxton, again, based on the kind of sample that you've had now, talking with something approaching 10,000 people who have been through this experience, how many of them, like you, remarry, find other partners, remarry, have successful second marriages, and kind of and manage to go on?
I can't really say. I can't even quantify it. Let me put it this way. I would say 90% do go on to new and better lives, whether it's with married or not married. But it takes that at least 6 years to really get through it, and a lot of support. One of the reasons we became independent of PFLAG was so that we could just depend on all our resources to focus on support and education for straight spouses.
How difficult is it, you know, for example, we heard from an earlier caller, and she told the story of feeling that she was going through this kind of situation and that there was nowhere for her to turn, in part because her husband said he didn't want anybody to know that he was gay. And she talked about now this having taken place some years before, but even now, how difficult is it for people who find themselves in this situation to indeed have somewhere to turn to get some support?
They're very difficult, and this is why what you're doing is so wonderful, and why the McGreevy is coming out, because we've had triple the number of calls since Governor McGreevy came out and all the publicity followed. It's hard, and we're trying to get the word out, but there is somebody in every state, I know, at least, and in 70 communities who will be there. And all you need to do, all anyone needs to do is listening now, is to go onto the website, and we'll find somebody. And hopefully we can get the word out to doctors, lawyers, rabbis, wherever, to say, look, this does happen, you aren't alone, and there is help.
Well, we're going to have to stop there because we've come to the end of the time. And I do want to mention again that there is, if you have internet access, there is the website that we have mentioned for the organization that Dr. Buxton is involved with. This is www.ssnetwk.org. She also has the book, if you're interested in reading the book. It's titled The Other Side of the Closet, The Coming Out Crisis for Straight Spouses and Families, and it is published by John Wiley & Sons. And Dr. Buxton, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a wonderful interview.
Very good. Support for today's broadcast comes from the Prairie Ensemble, presenting Benjamin Britten's mini-opera, Noah's Flood, on Saturday, November 6th, at University Place Christian Church in Champaign. The large cast includes singers and instrumentalists from throughout the community, with the Central Illinois Children's Chorus, the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra, and Roger Cooper as the voice of God. For more information, call 355-9077 or visit prairieensemble.org. Support for the broadcast today also comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine in Urbana. The Corkscrew carries a full line of wines, beers, and spirits for everyone from the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. and Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or on the web at corkscrew.com. Again, a reminder that tomorrow morning on this program, Focus 580 and Hour Number 1, we'll be talking about the politics of Asian America. And our guest will be Peiti Lian. She is Associate Professor of Political Science and Ethnic Studies at University of Utah. Then in Hour 2, our guest will be Graham Allison. He's Professor of Government at Harvard University. He is the founding dean of the Kennedy School of Government there. And we'll be talking about his book, Nuclear Terrorism, The Ultimate Preventable Catastrophe. That's tomorrow. We're here weekday mornings from 10 to noon, 10 different topics for you every week, and always welcome your questions and comments. And now we hope you'll stay tuned, because coming up next, the Afternoon Magazine with Celeste Quinn.
Thank you, David. Coming up today in the 1 o'clock hour of the program, we'll talk with one of the candidates campaigning to represent the state of Illinois in the U.S. Senate. We'll get a libertarian view of the issues. Libertarian candidate Jerome Kahn joins us following the 1 o'clock news this afternoon. Let's take a look now at what's happening on the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. December wheat is trading at 316.5, up 1. March wheat, 327.75, down 1 quarter. December corn, 206.5, that down 1 quarter. March, 217.25.